microbial organisms that don't require or use oxygen? Well, it's possible, I guess. The New York Times notes that here on Earth, phosphine is found in our intestines and in the feces of badgers and penguins. And although here at Radio Parallax, we have not researched it thoroughly, we are pretty sure that neither badgers or penguins are sources of the gas in the atmosphere of Venus. Aww. And that does it. This program was produced by Edward McMillan. You've been listening to Radio Parallax. I'm Douglas Everett, and we're going to have a lot more to say on next week's program. Please tune in.
I went to the edge to see the bottom of the drifter sea, where lonely dreamers cash in their dreams for a case of beer and a year's supply of food stamps. Sinatra was there without a clue. His eyes were red, no longer blue. He said, "What's a swinging boy to do but sleep with liars and tramps?" I said, "What's this world coming to?" He said, "There's something burning new." I said, "You felt that once fitting you," he said, "but now the light has flickered from my lamp." And I said, "The night looks like it's never been as young as when it had a vision." Chance to do it all again, but now you're in heaven, oh, you're in hell. As far as I can tell, it's just as well. There's no freedom bells when you're a thief in the night.
I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Son, you look older than me, and I'm 71. You're falling apart, you're not living right." I went to the doctor, and the doctor said loud, "You got to stop hanging out with that old in crowd. Living's a battle, in the fight." I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Boy, your body is a temple, it's not a toy. Fill up this here paper cup and give it to the nurse. Don't spill it now." I went to the doctor. Doctor said, "Friend, this should be the middle, but it could be the end. Better get better, else you're gonna get worse. Oh, I went to the doctor. Oh, I went to the doctor. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Sir, we got back the x-ray. Everything's a blur, but it's all positive. That's what every single test shows." I went to the doctor. Doctor said, "Kid, it was something that you ate or drank, and something that you did, and it's all in your head."
Hello. This is 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And you're listening to Ken Logan and the Doctor's Inn. The Doctor's Inn is a show once a month, third Thursday of the month, from 6 to 7 in the evening, where me, a family practice doctor here in Chico, likes to bring up subjects that I think can be useful to you relative to health and medical stuff generally. I like to hear from you. If you have a subject that you would like me to cover on the show, I'd like you to email me. So get a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen, and here's my email address. klogan.md@yahoo.com. That's the letter K. So klogan.md@yahoo.com. I need to let you know that the opinions voiced on this program don't necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers, because they're actually my opinions. The Doctor's Inn is made possible by you, the generous contributions of KZFR supporters, and by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and by publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or to have your event listed, visit friendsoftheart.com. And by Dahlmeier Insurance Agency, an independent agent and retail broker since 1948. Dahlmeier Insurance provides a range of coverage options from home and auto insurance to farm and ranch coverage. You can reach Dahlmeier Insurance in Chico at phone number 342-6421 and in Orville at phone number 533-3424 or on the internet at chicoinsurance.com. All right. So, on today's Doctor's Inn, on the show today, I'm going to first talk about these stressful times a bit from a human being point of view, and just a little bit of advice on that. And then also I'm going to be talking about and sharing ideas and solutions about us dealing with the smoke in the air, which actually is looking a lot better right now, and about the COVID virus and coming up soon the influenza virus and them together. And specifically I'm going to talk about, relative to those, I'm going to talk about prevention and comparison of actually death rates, influenza versus COVID. And about the stress reactions that we're having in the these days and how that seems to be shown a bit in the reactions of people relative to use of guns. And so I am going to actually talk a bit about gun violence. And maybe if I have time at the end, I'll talk a little bit again about sugars, including a bit about sugar substitutes. On the last show, I quoted Kamala Harris, one little short quote. So Kamala Harris, Senator Harris, the vice president nominee, Kamala Harris, quote, "The constant chaos leads us adrift," end of quote. Yeah, constant chaos leads us adrift. And man, we're in this fire and the COVID, the election coming up, other things, money problems, the economy and our jobs and food and rent and mortgage and even things like our complicity in Yemen and Palestine and that's not in any way a complete list of the stresses that are currently here. There's a lot of stress here currently. We as individuals and as a community or society are led into feeling with these stresses irritable. We can begin feeling irritable, of course, and anxious, depressed, angry, impatient, and discontent. which affects our individual lives, of course, and affects the lives of people around us, our spouse or partner, loved ones, friends, coworkers, the whole bit, of course. It affects all of us. So bringing these facts together directly in front of us, you know, these stress ideas, these facts, to remind us all to remain solid and to remind us all to remain grounded and to remind us all that of the absolute power of compassion and the absolute power of the feeling and the showing of love. We just got to keep those ideas and we got to keep that powerfulness going. And you know, when we feel and show compassion and love, it actually spreads to others and it around us, and it oozes out of us to the populace around us. And that's a powerful thing. And it's helpful, obviously, to the world and to us in our communities and in our homes. I realize you all know that. However, I wanted to say it and kind of state the obvious, you know. Part of the reason that I say these facts now is, as I'm sure you all know, the particular time when the power of compassion and love and understanding is able to benefit us all so much right now. It can benefit us all so much. And, however, part of this thought of thinking about things like understanding and love and compassion is, hey, don't forget about yourself and your own health during these times and all times. And I'm talking about health such as emotional and physical health. Don't forget yourself, of course. You know, and part of that has to do with remembering that staying healthy is an important thing, and I think I'm going to talk a little bit more about staying healthy, but staying healthy with respect to helping prevent yourself from getting COVID virus and influenza virus. So I'll talk about that in a few minutes, give a little more some pointers or some ideas. These are things you already know, but I'm going to reiterate them. Let me first talk about the fires. And again, it looks a little better out there now, but they're not going away for a while. Now, of course, these fires have some health consequences. I mean, the smoke has health consequences, especially related to our breathing, of course, and the function of our lungs. But it also has consequences relative to how we feel about the world and around us, immediately around us, and our sense of well-being. Throws us off our usual day, you know, with all the smoke around, how heavy it is. We're not in control of it. And there's a lot of uncertainties. It can bring fear, of course, and irritability. These reactions to the fires and of course, the smoke, I want you to know, are normal reactions, normal responses in you. Please know that. Know that it's normal to feel that way. Irritable and fearful, maybe even, and uncomfortable and kind of discontented. Know that. Because you're a human being. Don't forget that. You're not a robot or a machine. Then, once we all realize that these are normal reactions to the smoke and the issues around it, and it brings us all, and what it brings inside our guts, you know, inside us, it's a time to figure out our own responses to all of this, remember that the things that you think and do each day, put intention to that. Know that these things are going on in your life and it's very stressful, and understand it, that it's okay, that you're normal in feeling this way, and now know very well, roll up your sleeves and deal with the day, but know that you're okay, and it's okay to feel those ways. And it helps us to all feel thankful to the people that can actually help how we feel and our feeling of well-being, to help be thankful inside ourselves and verbally to the people who are fighting these fires. That can be a helpful feeling inside us. Specific to the breathing issues or consequences of the smoke, of course, will be different for every individual. Your body, your health, your lungs are each individual, depending on who we are. You know that the smoke is not good for our lungs, not good for the function of our lungs. You know that. Our lungs do a lot of filtering of particulate matter, like stuff like the smoke, out of the air we breathe. That's a lot of what the lungs do. So much air passes through our little air tubes and our little microscopic pockets called alveoli in our lungs, and a lot of filtering. So the reason I bring this up is that the lungs are continuously, no matter what the air is like, but specifically when it's smoky, the mucus is trying, the mucus present in the lungs and the little hair, little micro hairs along the linings of the lung tubing are trying to move the particles out of your lungs, and with that, the mucus carries these particles. So my point there is, know that coughing up some mucus, when it's present, cough it up and get it out of there. Yes, that's happening, and that's part of your natural response of your lungs to clearing some of this air and clearing the lungs from the buildup of this particulate matter. And when you cough, you know, you're going to be doing more coughing during this bad air times. And remember, try to not cough into the direction of other people relative to this virus stuff. So, you know, I know this isn't, we're not in the first grade here or kindergarten, but I just want to reiterate the idea of when you cough, don't cough towards other people, but cough. What's a good idea is to bend your arm and cough into that, the opposite side of your elbow, you know, the bent arm, cough into that area of your hand, of your arm, rather. I'm not big on people coughing into their hand, because your hand is what you touch other people with and touch doorknobs with, you know, but cough into that flexed opposite side of your elbow. And you can cough into your hand if you got something in your hand to cough into, such as tissue or a part of your clothing or something like that. Another thing, drink plenty of water. Drink plenty of water because it's hot outside, it's summer. But also with mucus in your lungs, you know, the movement of mucus, no matter where in your body it is, including our lungs, is more readily done, is more easily done or more efficiently done, the movement of mucus, if the mucus is thinner. And in order to be adequately thin, you have to keep enough water in your body. So remember, we got to drink plenty of water these days, especially because it's hot. And these days, especially because of the smoke. And unfortunately, because of the air and how our lungs are putting a lot of air through there, and they're filtering and they get stuff in them, it's not a great time to do a lot of extra exercising, unfortunately. You don't know how difficult it is for me as a doc to say that. Don't exercise as much. But unfortunately, when the smoke's around, that's exactly what is important. Don't do extra exercise, obviously, on days when it's smoky. That's not good for your lungs or you. Also, if a person during these times, if you're somebody who has something like asthma, remember that you might, of course, need to use your rescue inhaler a little more readily during these times, of course. My general advice is don't hesitate currently to use that rescue inhaler when you feel a need. It's a good thing for you now. It helps open up your air tubes to not only let air more readily come in and out of your lungs, but it also, by dilating those little air tubes, it helps with the lung doing its job of expelling some of that mucus. When you use that inhaler, you may actually be coughing. You may find that you will then be coughing up a little more mucus, and that's actually a good thing during this fire. During the smoky times. However, something like a fever and feeling ill, like feeling fatigued and tired out and draggy, that is not a symptom of you dealing with the smoke. So fever and the fatigue and that kind of thing coming with your coughing is not just the smoke doing it to you. If you've got a fever, that means you've got something else also, such as maybe a virus or a bacteria. Could be the COVID, could be influenza, could be a cold virus, could be something else, could be pneumonia. So if you have a fever and you're coughing, especially if you have asthma, you need to work with your healthcare provider on that. Call your healthcare provider to talk over the phone, maybe to their helper, or go in to see them. But you need to get evaluated if you have a fever and you're coughing. Remember not to cough on other people. For those of you who do not have a healthcare provider, I know that's a tough thing nowadays to find. If you don't have one already, I understand that. But I just want you to know, for those of you in particular who do not have health insurance or have health insurance that they cannot afford to use, there is a free clinic in Chico. Some of you probably know about it already, but it's the Shalom Free Clinic. It's on Sundays only, and it's only on Sunday afternoons in Chico, at 1 to 4 in the afternoons in Chico. No appointment needed. You just show up. And that's at, it's on Mangrove Avenue. It's the Shalom Free Clinic. 1010, that's 1010 Mangrove Avenue in Chico. You just show up. Wear a mask. And we see people actually not in the clinic. We see you in your car or socially distanced spacing in chairs outside. But nonetheless, you can get some help there if you don't have health insurance or you have health insurance that you can't afford to use. Shalom Free Clinic, Sundays 1 to 4, 1010 Mangrove Avenue in Chico. Well, now I want you listeners to know that I am a physician, a family physician, and I'm just going to tell you this fact. These are a couple opinion things that I'm just stating right now as a family physician on a radio program. I'm going to tell you this. As a family physician, it is absolutely wrong to separate families. That is, to separate children from their parents. That's wrong. As a physician, as a doctor, I know this is a wrong thing to do. It's traumatic. And it has known specific and negative health consequences for that to happen. And all trauma to human beings should be avoided if able, all trauma. Intentionally separating children from their parents will directly cause emotional abnormalities and conditions and will cause also physical abnormalities and conditions. That is a fact. We doctors know that. Our government should never intentionally cause trauma to human beings in our country or elsewhere. Therefore, I, as a health care professional, a physician, am opposed and feel it is absolutely wrong for our government, no matter what area of our government, to intentionally separate families, that is, separate families, children from their parents. That is absolutely a health trauma, emotional and physical. and it's absolutely wrong. Okay, another point. As a family physician here on a radio show, I want you listeners to know that I absolutely feel it's necessary to demand a proper investigation to occur relative to allegations of unwanted surgeries, such as hysterectomies, being done potentially to fellow human beings who are being held in captive by one arm of our federal government, ICE, in Georgia. If this is indeed occurring, there needs to be. I don't know if you all have heard about that, but if this is indeed occurring, if I am correct that this is being stated by a whistleblower, then indeed there needs to be an investigation. As a professional, a physician, I demand that this be investigated and dealt with appropriately and soon, obviously. Okay, now I got those two things off my chest. Now, I'm going to move on and talk about the viruses. And I said the viruses. It's a plural word because we're soon to enter into the flu season, influenza virus season this year. So that means we will have two significant respiratory or breathing system affecting type viruses in our environment and community in the upcoming few months. We'll have the flu, which is influenza virus, and the COVID virus. I've talked on another show about what viruses are, so I'm probably not going to talk about that subject now, but anyway, they infect us and they infect our respiratory systems. And the other influenza virus and COVID virus, one interesting thing about COVID virus that we're going to have to all keep our eyes open for on into the years ahead is how the COVID virus has and will infect certain organs more than not only just the lungs. So are people going to have problems with their brain function? I don't know. We're going to have to watch. And are they going to have function problems with their hearts? We're going to have to watch, because those two areas are also involved in some COVID infections, So, first of all, let me state a fact so that we can all be on the same page in this country, in the United States, now and in the future. I have to say this because I'm going to talk about issues about the COVID virus. It is a political thing. So I have to talk about this subject politically to a degree as a physician. The president of our country, Donald Trump, is a pathologic liar. That is one part of his personality disorder. I'm speaking as a physician here. The reason I bring this fact up now is I want to warn us all that that specifically we are unable to believe what he says. And the second fact or problem related to our president, Donald Trump's personality disorder, or just his brain function, is that he is not a believer in science. That is a bad thing when there's a pandemic, a health-related pandemic happening. How could someone not believe in science and be our leader? This is bad for us. So, therefore, that's an even more reason for us to be unable to believe what he says when it comes to issues around the pandemic relating to the COVID virus. For those two reasons, I'm saying, cannot believe what he says. He lies regularly, and that's part of his pathology that befalls him. And by the way, people who have personality disorders like that don't ask to have those personality disorders. So theoretically, a personality disorder like he has is simply a genetic thing or a pathologic thing present in him. He didn't request it when he was a baby, for instance. So as a consequence of that disorder in him, we can feel sorry for him. I can understand feeling sorry for him. However, given his position of authority and power, we also have to understand his disorder. And understand his disorder so that we can all do what we feel is correct and wise relative to these things, such as how we deal with the virus, including the COVID virus and the influenza virus, in ourselves and our communities. We can understand how he is, but we still have to do what we feel is correct and wise. Okay, so the COVID virus and the influenza viruses. First of all, and influenza viruses, I'll tell you in a minute, but there's four of them this year that the vaccine is trying to help us with. But first of all, let's talk about facts. In the United States, so far, relative to COVID, about 197,000 people have died. So almost 200,000 people have died over the last 9 months from COVID in the United States alone. So let's compare that to the deaths that happen yearly in our country from influenza viruses, the flu. Remember, both of those are respiratory viruses, and they will be present at the same time in our environment here within the next few months, during the next few months. The flu is responsible for deaths also, but on a much lesser scale. Many people get the flu each flu season from December to March or so. The flu season generally is around December to March. But a much smaller percentage of people die when they get the flu compared to the COVID. Let me give you some examples of death numbers. In one of the worst flu years in recent years, which was 2018, only 2 years ago, 80,000 Americans died. Remember, we already have lost almost 200,000 over the last 9 months to COVID. So in 2018, 80,000 Americans died from influenza. We've already lost 200,000 in 9 months to COVID. But that year, 2018, was a bad year for the flu. And for instance, in 2012, 12,000 Americans died from influenza. So, you know, 12,000 died from influenza in 2013. That's way less than in 2018 when we lost 80,000 people to influenza. Another year, 2013, there were 56,000 Americans who died. But again, we've already lost 200,000 to COVID. One difference, however, when comparing influenza and COVID viruses relative to deaths is the fact that influenza virus affects children more than COVID does. In other words, many people get influenza. Of the people who get influenza, though, many of them are children. And children can get some severe illness with influenza. That is a fact. For instance, in 2016, in all of the United States, 101 children died from influenza virus here in the United States in 2016. Now, with more than 300 million people, 101 children to die in 2016 due to influenza virus. That's not a big number, but any deaths are too many when it comes to children dying from a virus, and especially when the virus can be, to a degree, prevented. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute, of course. But here's another fact to pull in some thoughts. I'm going to be talking about guns and gun violence later on in the show. Well, I hope. But get this figure. In 2016, in the United States, that there were 101 deaths from influenza virus in children. You know how many kids died from gunshot wounds that year in the United States? Which would be kids from birth to age 17. You know how many kids, children that year in the United States died from guns? Not 101. 3,143. Now, that was from accidents, suicides, and homicides altogether. But 3,143 deaths of children to guns in the United States in 2016. Again, in that same year, 101 kids died from influenza. So guns, the issue of guns use and presence of guns in houses is an important issue. And for people where there are kids, they need to be out of sight, out of places where the kids can get them. They need to have locks on their triggers that are key locks, or that only the user, of the adult, would have the know where the key is and have access to that. Handguns should not be in a house where there are children. Did you hear me say that? I'm going to tell you, I'll get to it later. A little more on guns. But, okay, now... I'm going to talk a little bit more about prevention of the viruses. Prevention of COVID and the prevention of influenza. COVID, let's start with. How do you help yourself stay free from COVID? Or if you do COVID, to have it be least severe? Well, the best you can do is to remain as healthy as you can, which means... wiseness relative to what you eat, wiseness relative to what you do in your daily life relative to activity, in other words, stay active, wiseness relative to drinking adequate amounts of water, and wiseness relative to taking care of your inner spiritual self. That helps your immune system, by the way. And then... wiseness relative to what you do to yourself relative to helping not come in contact with either of these viruses, influenza or COVID. And those things of wiseness relative to helping yourself not come in contact with these viruses are, of course, distance yourself from people who are ill, of course. Stay at home when you are ill, so you don't give it to other people. Wash your hands regularly, especially when you're out and about. Stay out of groups and crowds of people. And wear a mask when you're out in public. The health of our community and your personal health, both when and if you choose to wear a mask out in public, these are factors. Community health around you and your own personal health. It's not just that you might get the virus that you're helping prevent when you wear a mask, but you're also helping not spread a virus because people can have it and not know they have it. You're helping to keep it from spreading to other people in your community. And you might say, well, I don't care about the other people in my community. But remember, there are other people in your community who are susceptible to the severityness of the COVID, and those are the elderly. Anyone with another infection, for example, a pneumonia or another virus or a bacterial upper respiratory or lower respiratory infection. Other people who would be susceptible to more severe COVID infection would be those who have issues with their immune system, such as people with HIV. Or any cancer, or a medical condition that affects the immune system, especially with medications that affect the immune system, such as rheumatoid arthritis, diabetes, lupus, and severe psoriasis. So wearing a mask, you help protect yourself, but you help the community, you help spread it from spreading in the community to other people who are at your mercy. So wear a mask, President Trump, and supporters of President Trump. Then, and everybody else. Now I'm going to talk about the prevention of the viruses. I'm going to get to COVID and vaccinations in a minute, the vaccine issue with COVID in a minute. But first, let me cover the vaccination issue relative to influenza, you know, the flu. And by the way, when I say the flu and we're talking about influenza, we're talking about a respiratory illness, similar to the symptoms with COVID, actually, where often, but not always, people will have a fever, a cough, head congestion, and fatigue, and body aches. Those are the more severe cases, but there's an array of lesser symptoms. In other words, there's many people who have influenza virus and have lesser symptoms than that. They might have just a mild cough, mild body aches, mild fatigue, mild congestion, or heart, no fever, and a mild cough, etc. So there's an array of severities of influenza symptoms. and you never know what symptom you're going to have, symptom level you're going to have. And by the way, there are, when we talk about influenza virus, there are more than one influenza virus. There is only one COVID-19 virus, but there are at least four in the United States that we may or may not be put at risk for this year. At least four influenza viruses. Hence, the vaccine this year is what's called a quadrivalent, or it covers the likely four specific influenza viruses this year. So I feel, as a family physician for the last 35 years, feel it is definitely beneficial for us to get the flu shot every year, every flu season, to get a flu shot. That's my advice. It's best to be obtained in the mid to late October so that your immunity fits timed for the December through March, or maybe November-y through March influenza time. And if for some reason you or your child does not get the vaccination in October, and it's now later than October, such as November, December, or even later, get it anyway, for sure. Even though you're late, go ahead and get the vaccination. I'm going to tell you more about the vaccination, though. First of all, it's advised for all people 6 months of age and older. So the flu vaccination is advised for all people aged 6 months and older. The vaccine this year, again, covers the four viruses, or is quadrivalent. People over the age of 65 may be advised to get a stronger dose of the vaccine. Talk to your healthcare provider about that, or your pharmacist if you get your vaccination at a pharmacy. Children between the ages of 6 months and 8 years, if it's their first time that they're receiving any flu vaccine, then the advice is that they actually, in order to get them to crank up an adequate immune response to protect them at that young age from this influenza, they would need, if they've never had a flu vaccination, then they're advised to have a two-shot series. In other words, you get one shot, and then a month later they get another one. And that allows the immune system to be adequately stimulated to make antibody, or these proteins, against the flu vaccine, or flu virus, rather, against the flu virus. And by the way, flu vaccine is not live virus. There's no way you can get a case of influenza from a flu shot. It's not possible. It's not a live virus. It's virus parts. It's molecules that do not include living or able to infect someone virus. But these molecules or parts are able to allow you to make antibodies or proteins against the whole darn virus. the effectiveness, we all got to have our expectations correct when it comes to the effectiveness of the influenza virus, influenza vaccine. Therefore, I want you to all know that the effectiveness of the influenza virus vaccine may be around as low as 50%. 50% is better than no percent help. So 50% help is better than zero help. Sorry, but that's the way it is. And my opinion is the influenza virus shot or the vaccine is safe. It's better to get the shot compared to not getting the shot. Your health is better. The vaccine used throughout our community, throughout our country, will definitely help the flu season be less severe. My advice is to get the flu shot this October, next month, and children older than 6 months included. And it's important this year to get vaccinated against the influenza and to take care of yourself with those things I was talking about relative to taking care of yourself, how you eat, how you drink enough water, how you get enough sleep, how you stay active, how you wash your hands, how you stay away from ill people, how you distance from ill people, how you stay away from crowds and groups, and how you wear a mask in public. These are all important things to help us prevent you from getting either of those viruses, influenza or COVID. And you, when they're both present in our environment here in the next month or two, and for 3 or 4 months after that, shoot, that puts that adds more illness and disease and deaths, unfortunately. So we got to try to prevent these viruses as best you can. So flu vaccine, flu shot, good idea. Okay, COVID. Well, what about a flu COVID vaccine? What vaccine? There is no vaccine yet. Several companies around the world are working on it. I'm going to say this. I already talked to you about the lack of science knowledge and understanding and a deficit in the brain of our president, Trump. And you can feel sorry for him, but we have to go beyond that and beware and be. And I want you to hear, the reason I'm bringing it up now is because him talking about pushing for the vaccine to be out fast and to fast track it. Well, here's the problem with that. Beware, because when supplied too fast before adequate testing is done, and testing is a way of, for these companies, which they always do. I mean, this is standard for them to take enough adequate time. They're looking for side effects or problems that the vaccination could cause and effectiveness. In other words, how effective is it compared to the effectiveness of other COVID vaccinations that are coming out? So they're able to be compared with each other. We want the most effective vaccination also. We want one that's safe, but we want one that is most effective. So we have to, I just think we just have to all keep our thinking going, and we have to listen to people, to physicians in the CDC and, communicable disease, department, in the United States. We got to listen to the scientists and the physicians. Now, the other thing about the COVID vaccine is this. Think about this. When you come up with a new vaccination, well, it isn't just going to be like, okay, now we got one, and it's going, and we know its effectiveness is such, and we know its side effects are such, so we know what we're dealing with as best we can. Well, now, that doesn't mean that then all of a sudden snap your fingers and the vaccine is available for everybody in the world adequately, bam. No, there's going to be problems. There's going to be problems with enough production. There's going to be a problem with cost to the masses, the people in this country and the world. And there's going to be a problem with distribution, in other words, getting it everywhere in the world. So, therefore, it's not likely that a vaccine... Hang on just a minute. it's not likely that a vaccination or a vaccine will be the perfect answer in the near future. It's going to be a while, and I say it's going to be. I'm going to say that I'm one of these people who think it's going to be 1 to 2 years before we have an effective, adequately distributed, adequately reliable vaccine. I'm one of the people who feels that it's going to be 1 to 2 years. Remember, we don't want it too fast. We want it to be correct, not incorrect, when it hits us, this vaccine. Which means that we have to play our cards right and have the correct expectations when it comes to the timing and the effect of this vaccine. And therefore, we have to continue with wiseness of what we do, such as the wiseness of us taking care of ourselves and doing the best we can to prevent the virus from getting to us. And you already know what that is. Social distancing appropriately and wearing your mask when you're out in public. You know that. And those other things I was talking to you about. Stay away from ill people. Wash your hands. Stay away from groups and crowds. Take good care of yourself with how you and your health, which I had mentioned. All right. Let's see. Now, let me digress, as it were, to talk a little bit about guns and gun. And here's the issue. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I have. And that's the fact that, remember in the early part of this show, I was talking about all the stresses right now. We got the smoke. We got the virus. We got the smoke in the air, I mean. And we got the virus. And then we're going to have flu virus soon. We've got the economy. We got your job, your mortgage, your rent. We've got the election coming up. These are all stresses. And then add to that the fact that we have, unfortunately, a president who does not try to calm people and calm those who are readily taking up arms to put forth his dogma in the country. Be present at peaceful demonstrations, for instance, be a group of armed people present to bother people who are doing peaceful demonstrations. So this is a bad thing, and our president doesn't say don't do that. My point there is that among all the stresses, and then add to that the fact that Trump, if anything, does more of an emotional encouragement, if not even maybe he doesn't outright say take up arms, but he's encouraging it in other ways. That's a problem lately. And, you know, there's been some deaths, some shootings, obviously. So I'm a doctor. So this subject of guns and the subject of violence are two issues that when they come together, there's problems with us humans. And of course, it means medical problems because there's blood and death and, oh, gosh. I want us to always remember that talking about these things, sharing information, I think is needed. And we've got to all know or realize what's happening here in the United States. And if we're gonna all work together towards helping this phenomenon of guns presence and gun violence, we have to not only realize it, but talk about it and calmly talk about it. The one little bit of good news, if you can call it that, I guess, there's an article in the American Journal of Medicine, August, so last month's, volume 133, number 8, by Dr. Lena Wen, W-E-N, and Nagisa Sadhai, which is a person who has their bachelor's degree. The article is called Treating Gun Violence with a Public Health Approach. So, treating gun violence with a public health approach. And here's some information relative to that. Between the years of 1998 and 2012, there was, get this, a 96% reduction of federal spending on firearm injury research done by the CDC. So the funds were dramatically cut for that research. 1998 to 2012. How many years is that? 12, 14 years. Because of something called, in Congress, called the Dickey, D-I-C-K-E-Y, amendment, which functionally forbid the CDC from using federal funds, were not made available, therefore, for testing or looking into, studying injury prevention and control, because they felt it was going to advocate gun control. This was an amendment that was put into the congressmen's heads and desks by lobbyists from the National Rifle Association following the release of a CDC study that found an increased gun risk homicide in gun-owning households. The same is true for suicides, by the way. We all doctors know that. Depression is a common illness, common condition. Suicidal thoughts are present. It is absolutely multiple times more likely that a person with depression is going to kill themselves if there is a gun in the house. Other things, no. Other ways, no. I'm just telling you that. Over the last several years, gun violence has become increasingly widespread. On the average, 100 people are killed every day in the United States with guns, both homicide, suicide, and accidents. And I already told you that in the year 2016, there were 3,143 deaths from guns in children. How about that? We need some gun violence research, and gun controls need to improve. Hey, I'm going to tell you this. The Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters. Oh, no, I can't do this. Ah, for gosh sakes. It says, and Dr. Ken Logan, family practitioner, Ken believes the importance of community radio and encourage other members of the medical community to join KZFR underwriting family. That's Dr. Ken Logan, family practitioner. Yes, I am an underwriter of this station, and no, I don't know how that got onto my show. I did not have anything to do with that. And by Members First Credit Union, created by the community for the community. Members First is a member-owned, not-for-profit financial institution providing checking, savings, loans, and credit cards to residents of Butte, Glen, Shasta, and Tehama counties. For more information, visit m1cu.org. You do know that the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. I'm probably going to put on a little little song. Hey, what's the name of the next show?
It is Beatlenation.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so...
I took it over.
Excellent. Sandra's here to... Sandra, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Sandra's here to do Beatlenation, thank goodness. So hang in there, stay tuned to Beatlenation. I'm going to see if I can make this... cute little song come on. Let's see if I can do that.
To KZFR 90.1 FM and KZFR.org for a little bit of news and information you can use. I am Matt Fidler. The North Complex West Zone, which is basically the Bear Fire, is now at 74,200 acres and 18% contained as of this weekend.
Well, that's not the song. I'm going to try to bring that. How can I get that song to come on? Can I?
From here?
Yeah, from here. Can I just hit that?
North Complex Fires is now 261,000 acres and 26% contained.
Yeah, that song. Double click, and do I have to have this going?
There have now been 417 structures destroyed, including 253 residential structures, while 38 structures have been damaged. CAL FIRE Operations Chief Ron Bravo said that the communities of Berry Creek, Brush Creek, and...
I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, son, you look older than me, and I'm 71. You're falling apart. Not living right. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said loud, you got to stop hanging out with that old in crowd. Living's a battle, and you're losing the fight. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, boy, your body is a temple. It's not a toy. Fill up this here paper cup and give it to the nurse. Don't spill it now. I went to the doctor. Doctor said, friend, this should be the middle, but it could be the end. You better get better, else you're gonna get worse. Went to the doctor. Oh, I went to the doctor. I went to the doctor.